शांति 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 ओम। गुड इवनिंग। I want you all to ask yourself this question. Why did I come to Satsang tonight? Ask yourself this question honestly, truly. What was my purpose of coming to Satsang tonight? Do you wish to be entertained? Have you seen all the movies locally? I have nothing to do, so you came to Satsang. You come to Satsang for social reasons, to meet people, see what's going on. Be honest with yourself. Ask yourself the question, why did I come to Satsang? Really, why did I come to Satsang? There's only one real answer. You've been in this world for many years. And through practicing spiritual disciplines, you've come to the inner conclusion that this world really has nothing to offer you. Even though there appears to be good things in this world, you understand and realize that it's all subject to the law of change. Everything in this world must change. Subsequently, there's absolutely nothing that this world can give you. You have to feel this inside. Again, you have to wonder, who am I? What am I really? I never asked to be born. I live a certain number of years and then I die, so to speak. What am I all about? Where did this world come from? Who or what is God? Where do all the animals come from? The bugs, the insects, the trees, the mountains, the planets. What is this all about? If you've been questioning yourself this way, then Satsang is for you. You begin to feel and realize that there's something called self-realization. When you touch it, it will make you happier than you've ever been in your life. It will bring a profound peace. There will be no doubts in your mind about anything. We will have surrendered your mind completely. And you'll be mindless. You have an innate feeling that the real you is boundless space. That you're connected to everything. Everything's connected to you. In other words, not just your body. The appearance of your body is a lie. The appearance of the world is a lie. You sort of feel this. If you feel this, and this is true of people only who have been practicing spiritual discipline of sadhana for many years, many incarnations, then you have to find a sage who has gone all the way and is experiencing realization. Only a sage of this type can bring you forward and cause self-realization to come to you. Only a sage that realizes self, himself or herself. It's up to you to find such a person. When you find such a person, you have to trust that person implicitly. Have total faith in that person to lead you on the right path. If you have problems with that, you have to find another sage. All the scriptures, all the books tell you that unless one surrenders totally and completely to the sage, there's no hope for realization. Now it is true, there have been certain people in this world who have realized the self without any help. These people are few and in between. Very few. The average person needs a sage who has gone all the way. Who has gone beyond eternity. Beyond questions. Beyond the observer and the observed. Beyond all phenomena. And realize that all phenomena is a superimposition on the self. Which means your body, the world in which you live, the animals, everything, the planets, universe, is only but a superimposition of the self. Like the writings on a chalkboard. You can write what you want on a chalkboard. Or you can erase it and write something else. Erase it and draw a picture. But the chalkboard always remains the same. Only the images change. And so it is with a self-realized sage. The realization is that everything is the same. Phenomena. All phenomena are exactly alike. It comes and goes. But the self never changes. yourself a silence. No words. There is no logical explanation for the soul. It is beyond everything your mind will think of. You cannot find yourself by thinking about it. Only by unthinking. Removing thought. When you find such a being who has experienced this self, you have to learn to love this person totally, completely, absolutely. You're not really loving the person, you're loving yourself. You may see a person in the sage. The sage realizes beyond a shadow of a doubt there's no person present. Therefore, by loving the self, you're loving the sage. By loving the sage, you're loving the self. The same thing. The sage is no other than the real self. The sage is you. But you don't know this, you don't believe this. You've not experienced this. So you think the sage is a person. A place, a thing. Consequently, all you can do is to love the sage. That alone will suffice. Now, a sage having transcended the body and transcended the world comes from a completely different space than usual. And he or she may do things totally differently. But you should know this. Everything the sage does is only for your realization. This is why the sage or the yani exists for you. For your realization, no other purpose. It's up to you to feel this, to realize this, to understand this. You really have to learn to love the sage. It is difficult for many of you to love at all. When you think of love, you think of human love. And you think of disappointments. Sorrow. But when you love the sage, it's totally different. Completely different. When you begin to love the sage, you immediately feel bliss inside of yourself. You feel joy, happiness. Why? Because you're loving yourself. The self is all-pervading. Infinite reality. Omnipresence. Loving the sage is loving yourself. Loving oneself. And have to realize to trust the sage in anything you do. There's a story that reminds me of this. One day Krishna and Arjuna were walking down the path towards the evening. They became tired. They saw a house. And the house of a mean old man. Through some method he acquired lots of money. He was very mean. He knocked on the door. The mean old man came to the door and said, "What do you want?" And Krishna said, "We have lodging for the night and food to eat." Usually the mean old man would try to turn their face. He realized it was Krishna and Arjuna. So reluctantly he let him in. He had a sumptuous dinner for himself. He only gave Arjuna and Krishna breadcrumbs to eat. He had a comfortable bed. They made Krishna and Arjuna lie down in the corner in the mud to sleep for the night. When morning came, Krishna and Arjuna were about to leave. Krishna put his hand on the old man's head and blessed him and said, "May you prosper abundantly." And they left. Evening came again. He came to another house. In this house was a pious, wonderful, beautiful old man whose only possession was a cow. He knocked on the door and the old man opened the door and he saw Krishna. He prostrated himself and said, "What a blessing I've got to have Krishna and Arjuna come to my home. My home is yours." He gave him his dinner. He made him sleep in his bed and he slept on the floor. And he prayed to them all night. When morning came, Arjuna and Krishna were about to take their leave. And Krishna put his hand in the old man's head and he said, "May your cow drop dead." And left. Arjuna didn't say a word. He was singing about this all day. Finally, he had enough to ask Krishna, "Master, I don't understand your message." That night, when we came to the house, and this old man treated us poorly, was mean to us, he blessed him and told him he prospered abundantly. And last evening, when we came to this old man, pious old man, who was wonderful to us, gave us his dinner and his bed. He cursed him and said, "May his cow die." So dead. What is the meaning of this? Krishna explains, my ways, Arjuna, not your ways. And your way, not my ways. You be seeing me do many things that you don't understand. Never judge me for what you see me do. Only love me. You see, when I cursed you first, man, I told him I'd prosper abundantly. I realized he would come back many times, many incarnations, and have a lot of money, as well as the horns and for some money. The IRS would come after him, as well as the ones as money. We'll have many lives to work this out. And we'll suffer many lives because of his greed. Now when I went to the other old man, I realized that he had given up everything for God. His only possession was the cow. And this is holding him back from self-realization. So when I remove the cow from him, I will be self-realized. This is the game I play with people. The same is true with us. Never believe a sage thinks like you. When there's the things that you do. A sage may appear to you to be an ordinary person just like yourself. But that's where the sublime ends. Never try to understand a sage, his message of what he does. Again, just love him. That's all you have to do. If you can really learn to love the sage, immediately we'll see results in your spiritual life. The first thing you will see, you will feel a profound peace in your soul which you never felt before. Then you will feel a joy in your heart that you never had before. You will feel a love for everything. For the mineral kingdom, the vegetable kingdom, the animal kingdom, the human kingdom. You may be going through some karma, perhaps. Remember, for the sage, there's no karma. I know some of the books that tells you to read the sage of certain things is because he or she is going through some parabdha karma. It's not over. And we'll be all finished when he or she drops the body. This is a lie. These things are just written to appease the people. I tell you, there's no karma for a sage at all. What you see in the sage is a lie also. As long as you see the sage as a body, your thinking is erroneous. Your sage is not a body, nor are you. The I said, he doesn't know. Saying I'm another body is not good enough. You have to experience this truth. What good is this teaching if you can't experience it? Therefore, the sage says to you, you may have many personal experiences with the sage. The worst thing you can do is become judgmental. Always remind yourself that the sage is not coming from the place you're coming from. Not even try to understand the sage. Just love the sage, that is sufficient. Again, when you really love the sage, you will see very fast changes in your life. This is more important than practicing self-inquiry. And being the observer to any of those spiritual lessons. For through loving the sage, self-inquiry will become easier for you. When you have a hard heart and a head made of stone, it is difficult for you to love. If you look at yourself as an individual, and you try to practice spiritual discipline and self-inquiry, being the observer, pranayama, mantras, yes, the ego is doing all these things. This is why in Advaita, no spiritual message is required. No sadness is required. No discipline is required. Only to love. To love whom? To love the sage as yourself. It's all required. Once you're able to do this, everything else will open up for you. It appears difficult in the beginning, especially for a Westerner. For you've been brainwashed to believe that you're the ego. And everything that you do in your life comes from the ego point of view. You think you're making progress. Then something comes along and makes you angry and upsets you. And you feel you've lost all of your progress and you're nowhere. And you become perplexed and you wonder about this and wonder about that. And you say, I've been practicing something for 3, 4, 5 years. Nothing has happened. 20 years, nothing has happened. You've forgotten one thing, to love the sage. As yourself. Look back in your own practice and see if it's true. To really love with all of your heart and all of your soul. True love means surrender. When you're surrendering your ego, what else? Give it all to the sage. Become empty. Totally free and empty. Then I can assure you you'll feel such bliss. said, you realize that irrespective of circumstances, all is well. You will understand that irrespective of what's happening to your body, all is well. You will suffer and sorry for yourself. You will stop judging yourself. You will begin to leave everything and everybody alone. Another incident of this is when I was with Paramahansa Yogananda. I was 17 years old. He initiated me. And he told me, Robert, do you promise to love me? No matter what you see me do. So I smiled and I hesitated. I said to myself, what's this guy gonna do? And then I felt overwhelming love, and I said, certainly, yes I will. And in 6 months that I was with him, I seen him go into different moods. Become angry with certain devotees, or loving other devotees. I remember a time during Christmas when many devotees wanted to go home to their families for the holidays. And when I was a Yogananda, I asked them, Master, can I go home to my family for Christmas? And give him a warm smile and say, yes, of course, go home and enjoy yourself. Someone else would come to him and say, Master, may I go home for the holidays? And he said, what? How dare you ask me a question like this? Of course you can't go home. You have no family, I'm your family. The only family you have is here. Your brothers and sisters and such like. And he would literally scream at him, or her. He never gave me permission to go home. I observed all this and I watched. And I realized at that time also, I'm not here to judge him. Just whether he's right or wrong. Good or bad. And there were many incidents that I did in the ashram. So the average person would leave, never come back. But I realized that these were tests. That people were fiddling them. And so it is with us. What are we really looking for? True spirituality is not easy. It means changing the entire viewpoint. Looking at life completely differently. Trying to keep quiet most of the time. Keeping your mind quiet and never allowing you to judge. Never allowing the mind to think too much on any one subject. You want to catch your thoughts. When the mind begins to criticize, catch it before it goes too far. Realize that God within you, your real self, can never lead you astray. Remind Maharshi of many strange things. All sages do. I won't go into them. Suffice it to say, a sage comes from a completely different background than you do. You don't try to train a sage or mold a sage into your image like you do God. In other words, you don't expect a sage to do what you think he should do. Because after all those thinking, the ego, who else? Realizes. Always remember that. If you learn to surrender to the sage will always be with you in the hallelujah. When you're asleep, when you're awake, when you're working, you'll never be alone again. Love will always be with you. But again, this is only for those people who have been through many, many spiritual experiences in their life. They have an inkling of what I'm talking about. You can't pull a person off the street and speak like I'm speaking tonight. You will laugh in your face and go the merry way. These people have not even begun to learn the lessons of spiritual life. When I say there's no person, no world, no God, no universe, no life, I speak from experience. Unless you have the same experience as then as I think, then as I speak. This makes sense. When you stop criticizing, you stop speaking, you stop thinking, only the true self can emerge from you. Reality can enter your existence. It's always been there. But you've awakened it. You begin to not believe anything that says I saw you. Please touch your fellow small. Nice of it, Zion. You stop worrying about anything and everything. Stop worrying. Remember, all is well. You live in an intelligent universe. It knows all about you. And it can take care of you. And meet all your needs in the right way. Why did you know that of? Trust it. Have faith in that which you do not understand. Drop all fear. It's so funny to me that people fear something. There's nothing in this entire universe that has a basis in fear. Fear the human emotion. If you have no thoughts, there's nobody to fear. There's only when you begin to think. And your mind draws pictures for you. You bring up all sorts of situations that may happen tomorrow, or the next day, or right now. And you begin to fear. And you fear for one reason only. You do not understand who you really are. You think you're a human being. All sorts of problems. And you say to yourself, I don't think of these things, who will resolve my problems? How will my problems ever become resolved? That's why I say, do not try to think about it. Just love the sage, and these will be taken care of. The answer to all this is simple. You will try to figure it out. But there's no time or space for a problem to begin. There's no time or space for fear to emerge. Time and space do not exist. Only the self exists. The pure awareness, the absolute reality. Nothing else. And you are that. I know some of you listen to these words and you go home and forget everything I said. And you become worldly again. Something about your income, your sickness, the people who don't love you, the job you hate, so forth and so on. But now when you begin to think this way, you have to catch yourself and think of the sage. How wonderful this is to understand these things. The rest is up to you. Yes. Any questions?
Can you tell a false stage from a real stage?
Your heart will tell you. If you're a sincere devotee, you don't have to worry about something like that. Something within you will tell you what to do, where to go. If you're a false devotee, you go to a false stage. Like attracts like. Therefore, you honestly have to take a good look at yourself and see what you really after, what you really want. And that'll tell you a lot about yourself. Then you'll be attracted to the right stage in accordance with your frame of being. Who you are spiritually in consciousness. That's why I always say everybody's in the right place. There are no mistakes. Everybody's where they're supposed to be. No mistakes whatsoever. And there are no false stages. Because the false stage has false people. So you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. Having a false teaching. Which is right. Who you're supposed to be. So if you're sincere, you will check the right stage. It reminds me of a story. There was once a girl who was brought up in prostitution. I didn't like it, but she knew nothing else. She was about 17, 18 years old. And she used to pray every day for salvation. To become free from all this. She sincerely wanted freedom. The whole family was involved in prostitution. And karmically she was attracted to that family when she was born. She would look out the window, have a break, and she would see a holy man sitting by the marketplace across the street. And he'd be shouting and screaming, "Repent, all you sinners, we're going to hell. Love God, especially here in Brazil, I wish I was like that. I can love God and do what I can. I just want to know of her life. Finally, it's okay when she died. And the holy man died too. So he came up to heaven, to the gates of heaven, and God came to his room and said, Guru, you can come in here for the ceremony. He said, you can't come in. You go down to hell. The holy man protested him. He said, well, how come? All my life I've been preaching you good in your ways. I was not supposed to repent. Well, this girl was in prostitution all her life. And God told her, He said, you've been preaching my name, but instead you were corrupt. You never meant what you said. You just wanted people to follow you and have a following. But this girl, even though she was a prostitute, she had a pure heart. So she'll never be reborn again. She is self-realized now. Well, you'll have to go back again and think about these things. I'm meant to make your heart pure. Then you'll be with the right people. So this is true as us. We never have to wonder where we will be, where we will go. It all depends on what we are. What you are speaks so loud, can you hear what you're saying? So you're always in your right place, where you're supposed to be. Make yourself pure. Turn into your heart center. Sit in the silence. Desire self-realization with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. Cry out for God. And you will be with the right people. Everything will take care of itself.